Adult Authors. I'm Joanne Morrell, children's and young adult fiction writer and author of Short Nonfiction for Authors. Thanks for joining me for the Hybrid Author Podcast, sharing interviews from industry professionals to help you forge a career as a hybrid author, both independently and traditionally publishing your books. You can get the show notes for each episode and sign up for your free author pass over at the Hybrid Author website to discover your writing process, get tips on how to publish productively, and get comfortable promoting your books at www.hybridauthor.com.au. Let's crack on with the episode.
Authors, I hope you're all keeping well in whatever part of the world you reside and listen to the podcast in. Today's interview is with Malka Margulies, a book consultant, senior public relations and communications executive, and non-fiction Judica books expert based out of New York City, with over 20 years experience within the publishing industry. And we chat how the book and publishing industry in New York has differed over the years in Malka's experience, book publicity via print media, book sales and social media, publisher resources for writers, getting a publishing deal within America, being an author living outside of America, what agents are looking for in the United States, podcast analytics, and more. So in my author adventure this week, I have started writing my young adult fiction book. And yeah, it's going well so far. I noticed when I did sit down to start writing, I urge everybody, if you listen to the podcast, you'll hear me talk about processes and things like that. But I urge everybody to watch, kind of outer body watch themselves and how they behave when they're writing. Because immediately, the scene that I wanted to write, I can see it, I can see it in my mind's eye and what it would look like, but the time that takes to put together is immense. And for now, this is a first draft. You need to have something down to be able to play and mold and make it into this amazing scene that I have in my mind later on. The key is to just get started now and to just write, get everything out there, the bones of it down. So I really noticed that was something that I could flounder with for a very long time, that would take up time and not make me very productive in getting the story down and moving forward. So I quickly leaped over that roadblock in writing, that author fear, whatever you want to call it, and just started writing. Also, I always find with my writing, I come up short. I'm not someone who rambles on and on and on. I generally have to go back and flesh out scenes and add bits in. And yeah, I've always been that way. But it's going along well. And yeah, also the usual, stuff is arising, which I laugh at because I think it's just always going to be part of it. It's risen, you know, the thought comes up to be like, what if this is just a load of crap? What if this is just not good? But then it's almost like a little laughable thing now. It's like, and what if this is the best thing that I've ever written? Instead of thinking it's crap. It's that little doubt, but it's funny now that I have the confidence and the abilities to be able to look at that and just sort of dust it off my shoulder and be like, go away. You know, and yeah, it's also just part and parcel of starting a new work. And the more deeper I get into the story, the more drafts I do, the more layers it comes, I will know by the end what kind of state it will be in. So I have to finish this work by the 30th of April, because that is the deadline to get some of the work across to the publishers at the writer's retreat that I'm attending in June, for a Rottnest writer's retreat. There's a critique that I am having with one of the interstate publishers from Allen & Unwin, Samantha Forge over there, and you need to have your work sent across to her by then. Now, it's only a couple chapters, but it would be nice to have the story kind of molded together and for it to be in quite good shape, because then there's only the month of May and then we're across there. And then I think after the retreat, you get a chance to submit the full work. And who knows, imagine during the critique, she says, oh, it sounds amazing and I would love to see all the work, and then I'll have it ready to give to her. So that's the aim. I am looking forward to the weekend. I've got a couple of book launches I wanted to go to in mine, children's fiction, supporting local authors, and Callum Greenall. Shout out to Callum if you're listening. I had him on a podcast a couple episodes back, and he was talking about juggling family and writing full length work. Fellow Scott, and he has a book launching this
Sunday,
and I will be attending his launch. And I was also going to go to James Foley's book launch. My daughter loves his Sally Tinker Inc. series, and they're republishing it in colour. It's a comic, it's a graphic novel, and he's so popular. I went to have a look and it was gone. It's all sold out, so I won't be going there. But Callum's book launch is in the city at the State Library, which is run through Writing WA, which, shout out to them, if you are a Writing WA member, then you are entitled to have a free book launch through them. So they host the venue, which is the State Library. You get a room, you obviously bring all your own stuff, but that's fantastic for authors. That's such a good opportunity, especially in the State Library. Like, you know, it's really inspiring. So I think on Sunday, after visiting that book launch, I'm going to go through to Fremantle. So if anyone is in Fremantle Sunday, I'm going to be around. I really want to just go and peruse the secondhand bookshops, just really have a wander around. I wanted to do that a couple of weeks back, but I chose to work instead. And I'm also kid-free this week. So weekend, I'm going to be writing pretty much all Saturday because it is school holidays and the children have taken up a bit of my time. We've been having some fun visiting, you know, all the kid-friendly places like Time Zone, which is the arcades here, and taking them swimming today. So, you know, as a parent, these are the things you've got to do. It obviously takes you away from your writing time. So not having them this weekend, they are with their dad. I will be working all Saturday on my YA fiction novel and catching up on the chapters that I have missed during the week. And just getting on top of that. So I'm looking forward to a really fun weekend of inspiration through attending other authors' book launches, cheering them on, being a cheer squad, but, you know, also going out to find books and write my own. So I don't know what your weekend's shaping up to look like, but I hope it's as book orientated as myself. If you've got the kids and it's the school holidays, there's so many cool workshops out there that I've noticed, especially in the children's industry where we live, a lot of Squibby members doing creative workshops, cartooning workshops, all sorts of different things. So get your kids along, get yourself along, and you know, support your industry if that's the industry you're in. There's always writing events if you look up, you know, your usual event ticket places and stuff. Yeah, April looks like it's shaping up to be a very busy and exciting month.
Thorn Creative, where beautiful websites for authors are brought to life. No matter what stage you're at with your writing, your stories deserve a dedicated space to shine. Whether you're just starting out or have a bookshelf full of bestsellers, your website is the hub of your author business, binding everything you and your books offer together. Thorn Creative can nurture all aspects of redesigning your old site or start afresh from the initial design. They can provide ongoing hosting and maintenance to marketing your books online, saving you time, money, and stress trying to wrangle your site yourself. An author website built by Thorn Creative can easily direct readers to your favorite retailers, your publisher, or simply set you up to sell to them direct. The options are endless. Thorn Creative have worked with many authors across all genres and know what goes into good, functional working author websites to sell books. Head on over to thorncreative.com.au/websitesforauthors to read author and publisher testimonials and to see what they offer and some of the sites they've created. With over 20 years' experience within the publishing industry, Malka Margulies is a book consultant, senior public relations and communications executive, and non-fiction Judica books expert based out of New York City. Welcome to the Hybrid Author Podcast, Malka.
Thank you so much, Joanne. This is a pleasure to be here halfway around the world.
I know. Well, we are so thrilled and honored to have you today. Thank you so much for coming on. So we'll just start. Can you tell us, how did you come to join the writing and publishing industries?
You know, it's kind of an interesting story, or maybe only interesting to me. I didn't come into publishing the traditional way. Most people, at least in the United States, who enter book publishing are English majors, and they start out as an assistant in a publishing house, or they go through one of the few, there's a couple of publishing like internship programs at various universities in the United States, such as New York University, and they come through there. I was 29 when I entered publishing, and I had a master's degree in journalism. I was working at a nonprofit as their editorial writer, editorial assistant for a magazine. But somebody I knew through activism work, actually, we would work together on issues of homelessness, which was rampant in New York. This is the late 80s, and sadly, the issue is just as bad now.
I can imagine.
She had her own PR company, and Random House had hired her to work on a book that was very popular here in the United States. It's written by Jonathan Kozol, and it was called Rachel and Her Children, and it was all about homelessness in America. And she was working for Random House as a freelance book publicist, and the publicity director just said, you know, I'm looking to hire somebody. Do you know anyone? For whatever reason, she recommended me. I got a call from Random House. I hit it off with the publicity director, and it was really my calling. I grew up in a home with 7,000 books.
That's a lot of books. Always,
I mean, it was kind of extraordinary. I grew up in the middle of the United States in a city called Kansas City. It's smack in the middle. If you look at the United States and you pointed your finger in the middle, that's Kansas City. And my parents had a home that they bought specifically to gut one floor. It was a three-level house and turn it into a library.
Oh, wow. I'd love your parents.
incredible. And here, you know, in my own house in the Bronx, which is part of New York City, I have a library of about 4,000 books.
Oh, wow.
So that's how I came into publishing. And I have left it and come back into it multiple times. I stayed in publishing for many years. It was then called Random House. Now it's Penguin Random House. And I left briefly to go to CBS News, which is one of the major networks in the United States, television networks. I worked there for a year, and then Random House called me back. Then when we moved from Manhattan in New York City to the Bronx, where I live now, for family reasons, I was a mother with a toddler and had no immediate family around to help. I wanted a job closer to home, so I worked in geriatric healthcare at a nursing home right near my house. For 8 years, and then I landed up back in publishing. And here I am.
Sounds like it wasn't going to let you escape publishing.
Exactly. It's like my calling.
Yeah. No, it's good when you find that. I certainly have found it within myself over the last few years being in the industry. And no, it's incredible. Well, that sounds fantastic, your experiences to date. How have you noticed, obviously, you've been coming in and out of it, but how have you noticed like the publishing and the book market change over the years of your experience in the industry in terms of, production or even sales, you know, even the not so recent, but still recent, you know, economic crisis, the COVID, I could imagine, put a whole ton of things. And
every single thing that you just mentioned has been affected and changed over the last many, many years that I've been in publishing, from very simple, maybe superficial ways the industry works to more profound. On a superficial level, because I have mostly worked while I do some developmental editing, I'm mostly a publicist. My job is to promote my authors. And on a superficial level, when I started out in 1989, we would mail out books and press releases to book reviewers throughout the United States. And we would write out or type up on manual typewriters labels for, you know, 50, 100, 150 book reviewers and send them out. Now, of course, everything's automated. Everything's through computer. I used to pick up the phone, call book editors, call radio producers, television producers, and pitch my authors on the phone. You never speak to anybody on the phone anymore. It's all email, occasionally text. It's so rare that I will speak to a producer by phone. So those are, you know, how technology and its impacted for sales. Bookstores can order books much faster than they used to, and the turnaround time of receiving the books is much faster. And this is all because of technology. But on a more profound level, I think what has really changed, and again, I can only speak about the United States and a little bit about Canada, is the consolidation of publishing houses. So here we have what are called the Big Five. And those are the Big Five publishing houses are Penguin Random House, Simon & Schuster, Hachette, Macmillan, and HarperCollins. And there are other, of course, publishing houses, but those make up a huge percentage of the market. And the incentive to turn out bestsellers and books that make money is much higher because these are all owned by corporations. When I started at Random House, it was still a privately owned company. And there was a greater, I think editors were more willing to take risks on books and authors that were unknown, that had no track record. And I think that's far less the case now. But at the same time, there are more opportunities to get published if you can't get a contract with a major publishing house. So you can self-publish, you can do a hybrid publisher, you know, where you pay for, you know, individual services. So there are more opportunities, but it is also more difficult. I don't know if that sufficiently answered your question.
No, it absolutely has. And it's quite similar here as well. There's still the, you know, the big five or the big publishing companies. There's a lot of small independent presses in Australia. Do you find, is that the case in America as well?
Absolutely. Mm. And they are doing phenomenal work picking up books that may have had a chance of going to one of the large publishing houses, and now they're passing on it. A lot of the authors I work with come from small publishing houses. Mm. There are advantages and disadvantages as a publicist. When I work with a large publishing house, there's the backing of a sales force that can actually pitch the books to, you know, book buyers at bookstores all over the country. Small publishing houses usually don't have that luxury, so it's harder to break through. But yeah, there's some wonderful work being done by all sorts of creative publishers. And just last week, there was a big splash in the American press about a new, kind of a new method of publishing. And they're calling themselves Authors Equity. And these are all former executives at major publishing houses, including Penguin Random House, where instead of giving an advance to authors, authors basically get to buy in. They get a much higher percentage of the book sales. Mm. And this made a big splash in the industry because we'll see if it works. Because getting an advance, you know, the advances are usually small. And, you know, I always tell authors, if they have a day job, don't give it up.
Yeah. When the first
very few are going to make a living off of it. Yeah.
So is that more like hybrid publishing though? You know, because the authors, I suppose it's, to me, like hybrid publishing, self-publishing, you're obviously taking it on and doing it yourself and organizing, outsourcing expertise and things like that. And then hybrid publishing is working with a company that's, it's almost like it's a one-stop shop, but you are still fronting money at the end of the day for the expertise. So is that
No, this is what they're calling themselves Authors Equity is a different model. The authors aren't paying anything up front, but the publishing company Authors Equity will take them on, not give them an advance, but they have a much higher
pay them more instead of giving them an advance, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, I'd heard a few years back just from chats, at this point in my career, I have self-published a couple of nonfiction books and chased traditional deals for children's fiction and women's fiction at this point. But I had thought that a lot of advances were dead in the water, but someone said no, it's still a thing. Advances are still happening, but yeah, up until about a year ago.
Small. At least here. Yeah. And I don't know, you know, I really don't know anything about the landscape of publishing in Australia, but I imagine a lot of what's happened here happens in Australia in terms of how technology has affected the industry.
Yeah.
How major publishing houses are not willing to take risks on, you know, different types of works.
Yeah, absolutely. I do feel like Australia and America are quite similar, but Australia always feels like it's behind the, we're behind the times with the rest of the world. It always feels, but I do feel like there is a bit of in sync with the US. Mm-hmm. But no, absolutely. It feels harder now to get published with one of the bigger publishing houses, but then there is heaps of little niche independents that they put out such beautiful books, but they're quite different as well. So yeah, no, and like you said, lots of opportunity to be able to get your work out. They are not so much the traditional sense and to get noticed and things like that.
But so, what I'm curious too about Australia. So another thing that has radically changed in publishing, this is kind of goes back to your first question, the last 30 years ago in publishing, every single major American city, and I'm talking about a city that had a population of 500,000 or more, had a daily newspaper. And each one of those daily newspapers had a book editor. And I knew them all. you know, at least by phone, and would develop relationships. Now, so many daily newspapers have been decimated. They don't exist anymore. And if they do exist, they no longer have a book editor. There are just a handful of newspapers in the United States that actually have a designated book editor. And a lot of the large cities, you know, all the major cities, LA, DC, New York, obviously Chicago, also had Sunday book review sections. Those are all gone. The New York Times is the only one, and the Washington Post just revived it. So the only two papers that have an actual book review section once a week. And I'm wondering if it's the same in Australia, where there are fewer outlets to even try to get attention for a book.
In terms of, yeah, newspapers, definitely. And they would only really post about the traditional publishing side. It would be very difficult for, say, a self-publisher or even a hybrid publisher to get their work in a newspaper. But they did used to have, I think it was on a Saturday, the Saturday's paper, which is pretty big, could be the West Australian here. And they did used to have like an art section. And I have to say, I haven't read a newspaper in a very long time. I've watched the news and things like that, but I haven't actually picked up a physical copy of a newspaper. But they did used to have like an art section. I think, and that talks about the books and the book industry and stuff. So I think that's still there. I think that's probably still going. But yeah, no, definitely. It feels that way, that everything's kind of moved online, and just there's different things, I suppose, like obviously with the rise of social media and book talk. And these are the sort of avenues, I guess, that people are implementing to put the word about their books these days, rather than, I guess, print media.
And you know, you mentioned book talk, and that triggers something else. So when I left publishing for 8 years to work in geriatric healthcare, and then I did a few other things, and then just strangely, as a freelancer, I got back into publishing because I never really stopped following the industry, and people kept coming to me, would I take on their books? And finally, I said yes to one book, and it led to another. And before I knew it, you know, I had a whole company going. I mean, a company of one person, me, but
yeah, so that's great.
But I felt behind in terms of social media, you know, because of my age, and I'm 63 years old. It's not the world I grew up in. It's certainly easy enough to learn, but I would talk to colleagues of mine who were half my age, who grew up on social media. And, you know, initially book bloggers was like the big thing. And then it was a book talk and then Bookstagram. And then it became TikTok. But when I actually would talk to the marketing directors at the big five publishing houses, and I spoke to two or three of them, it was like the Wild West, if that term means anything in Australia. No one really seemed to have a handle on how to get traction in social media, because it's a very organic, you know, it's, and a word I swore I would never use, but I've now used probably twice this month, influencers. You know, it's very organic. So you can't just pitch an influencer unless you really have something that's perfect. And because I specialize in nonfiction, in the world of TikTok, and the books that take off in that world are more fiction oriented, I make sure all of my authors, I publicize them on social media. I find the appropriate space in Facebook and Instagram. It's very time consuming because there's just endless number of people. And you really don't know if that translates into book sales. It's very hard to tell.
Yeah, it is. I have to say, I haven't been on for book talk myself. I'm kind of watching the talk around it, how it's getting, well, not book talk. I mean, TikTok specifically, but that's where book talk originated, and watching how some places are sort of banning it and everything like that. But it is just one more thing. And social media does exactly what you're saying, change. The landscape changes so quickly and so fast. And you've got to pick which one, I guess, you're on that suits the book and stuff. And I guess you, unless you're actually paying for paid advertising. I'm not sure how many book sales I've actually made through social media, but I think it's better to be on it than not be on it, I suppose. But the connections, right, is good for connecting and for networking and in that way. I'm not sure
it absolutely
about book sales
is. And I belong to a lot of Facebook. There are a lot of publishing groups. There are a lot of writers groups. And then there are individual groups on specific topics of writers I belong to. And I have connected with some fabulous people, and it's been very helpful in terms of my work. So you're right, the connections are very important. It's just there's no end to it. You know, you can stay up day and night, you know, searching on all of these different platforms. Now there's Threads.
Kind of a rabbit hole. Yeah. No, I hear you. I hear you. I haven't checked out Threads either. So I think I'll just stay clear of that too. But so what are your tips for authors looking to work with, you know, like a book consultant to publish their books? You know, you say you get people coming to you about helping with the books and your experience as book publicity. Is there anything you got? Any tips for authors who want to work?
Yeah, I do, because so many people come to me with their manuscript and I land up, if they're a friend or a friend of a friend's or a cousin or who knows, I'll, as a courtesy, I'll give them like an hour of my time, not charge them. And if I'm intrigued enough, I'll read the first 50 pages of the manuscript. And something that to me seems so obvious and common sense doesn't seem obvious to a lot of people. And it's one of the first questions I ask an author after I've spoken to them or read, you know, 50 pages of their work, and I'm not really sure why they're writing the book. And I'll say, who do you envision as your audience? And if they can't tell me, and sometimes they can't, I say, you got to do your homework. You have to figure out who you want to read this book besides your mother. And if you can't, and again, because I specialize in nonfiction, when I worked at Penguin Random House, I did fiction and nonfiction. I worked with some phenomenal fiction writers. I worked with Alice Walker. I worked with somebody who may not be so known in Australia, but certainly is here, Alan Gerganis. I worked with hundreds of authors. You know, if it's fiction, it just has to be such a compellingly well-told story. But if it's nonfiction, it really needs to teach somebody. But if somebody comes to me and what they've basically shown me is what reads like a diary, like what value does it have for a reader? And that's, it seems obvious, but I've actually had people say to me, oh, I hadn't thought who should read this. And people come to me with all sorts of questions, how to get published. I'm working with one author now, not as a publicist, but as a developmental editor. She has written and published lots of essays. She's a doctor. She is a integrative physician, and she's hilarious. Her writing is funny. And it gives great, her writing gives wonderful insight into what it's like from a doctor's point of view to have people entrust their care with you. And all of her essays are really gripping. And I've helped her place some of these essays. And then we started talking about turning it into a book. And there were too many scattered themes in it. So I've been working with her to kind of pull a couple of themes, weave them together, write an introduction. And it's really gotten to her thinking about who she wants to read, you know, the book. People come to me clueless how to find a publisher. They've already written a book. It may be pretty good and they have no idea. And I'll give them guides and tips of different routes they can take, whether it's self-publishing or whether they want to get an agent to try to get a major publishing house. There are a lot of resources online to get that information, but you know, people outside the industry probably don't know what those resources are. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And it's great. You're so, generous with your time as well and helping people who have questions and things like that. No, that absolutely answers it. Thank you.
I'm going to say that as somebody who specializes in nonfiction, I'm fascinated by people's stories. I'm fascinated by how did somebody end up where they are? Like, you know, if I were to just meet you now over a cup of coffee, I'd ask you, you know, were you born in Perth? And if so, where were your parents from? Where were your grandparents from? How did you end up there? And a lot of authors or potential authors have a book in them and they don't really know how to shape it. And I'll just sit down and talk with them and talk through all the different angles of their lives and what message they can give to other people, if that makes any sense.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, that's really good advice there. And absolutely agree. It's just one of the reasons why I love podcasting. It's because getting to touch base with people who I wouldn't probably come into contact with halfway across the world, such as yourself.
How long have you had your podcast?
It's been going for 3 years now. I did it fortnightly for the first year just to see if I could keep up the momentum and if I liked it. And I just absolutely love it. I just get so much inspiration and energy from it. And I feel like, you know, it's come down to that. About storytelling and telling other people's stories, as well as sort of giving back to the community. And it's just been great. It's just such a great way to connect with people who you wouldn't otherwise as well, who you can share stories with. So no, it is good. Thank you. Just one quick final question as well. And I'm not sure you know, if you can answer or whatnot. But do you have any advice to authors, you know, obviously living outside of the US, looking to break into the American book market, which is one of the biggest book markets out there? Is it quite open to outsiders, or do you need to, is the best way to get in by an agent, or is it who you, a lot of Australian publishing is who you know?
Exactly. That's a lot here as well. I think in Australia, what gives Australian writers a possible advantage that perhaps people in other countries don't have is America, and I don't say this with any pride, I was born and raised here. We speak one language, English. Americans are pretty, I mean, I'm bilingual, but my father was not born here, so I grew up with two languages. But it is very hard if you write in another language other than English to get through in America. I'm actually working right now on an amazing book that was originally published in Germany, and it was written in German. And through lots of coincidences, a small publisher here in the United States heard about this book. He was intrigued and he got a translator, and it's going to come out in English in May. And I've been working with the translator a lot because she is very plugged into publications in the United States that deal with works of translation. But the United States is very, we're very, I'm because I'm tired, I'm not thinking of the word I really want, but we're not very worldly.
I was going to say inclusive. Is that the word? Inclusive? Or is it?
Yeah.
Exclusive? Yeah.
I don't know if I'd use the word inclusive, but we're not very worldly because, you know, the size of this country, you can go 3,000 miles, and I don't know if you use kilometers, in Australia, but, and you're still in this country, and you're still in a country that only speaks English. So back to the question, what I would tell people in Australia who want to break through, there are some resources. There are a lot of resources online that would help you find agents here. Probably the best resource is Publishers Marketplace. You just go to publishersmarketplace.com. There is a free subscription, and then you can get more information if you pay. I don't recall what the monthly fee is. And it will tell you which agents are buying what kind of books. And you can look and see, oh, is this agent buying a book that matches the same genre of my book? And if so, you can approach that agent. So Publishers Marketplace is probably one of the best resources. There's another organization, and they have wonderful resources online, including agents, and that's Poets and Writers. My guess is that their website's poetsandwriters.org, but I don't know. You'd have to just type
Writers. Look it up and put it in the show notes. That's great.
And there's one more resource that I sometimes tell writers on Twitter. Well, I guess it's now X. There's a hashtag that agents use in this country, in the United States, for looking for certain types of work. And it's the hashtag is MSWL, which stands for Manuscript Wish List.
Wow.
So if you go on Twitter/X and you just put in the hashtag MSWL, you will see what agents are looking for. And these are agents in the United States. And so that's another resource to find. And that's if you go the route of agents. If you're another resource, and I tell this to people, is there are a lot of university presses in the United States. And there's probably a list of them somewhere if you just type in university presses, United States. University presses do not require an agent. You can send a query letter directly to a university press. And they do some phenomenal work. It's mostly nonfiction. I don't know if university presses publish fiction in this country. They might. I'm not sure.
Mm. Oh, that's fantastic. Thank you, Malka. That's really, really interesting. And I'll definitely source those links and put them in the show notes for anybody who is looking to break into the US market from Australia or any other countries that listen, because this is a worldwide global podcast. We've been listened to in over 40 countries. So,
phenomenal.
Yeah, it's been really exciting.
What's the furthest place you've heard from?
Oh gosh, I'm not sure. I would have to consult the list, but it sort of changes. I think Australia's always been the number one listenership, and it used to be the US is now, I seem to be getting noticed a lot in the US, I think, because I get a lot of pitches from the US. And then I think it's like New Zealand, but Singapore used to be part of it. And I think it's the UK is fourth. I'm just trying to think. I can't but think. But so yeah, I get a list of things, and it was really, I was really touched. So now that's all been
good. So are you bombarded with pitches all the time?
I was on a blog post, I think last year, and with a couple of other big podcasts here in Australia. We've got the So You Want to Be a Writer podcast, which is I listened to before I started podcasting. And then there's Words and Nerds podcast with Danny mm-hmm. V. These podcasts have been running a lot longer than mine, and they have millions of downloads, and they get pitched constantly. And mine's is a bit different. I get pitched a lot from booking agents and occasionally authors direct, but they seem to get more authors. And we're talking about how you go about pitching and stuff. So nowadays it's kind of the landscape of the podcast changed. So when I first started, I reached out to the people I wanted to talk to again, it's a great opportunity for me in the industry to be able to pick the brains of people I want to ask the questions of. And I still mm-hmm. do, but mainly the people that are reaching out to me, you know, they're great stories. I've got a lady who she's reached out to me, and I think she, it's funny. It would be funny if you knew her. She's an expat from Germany living in US, and I'm not sure where, and she has she's been raising hogs in Illinois and she has a book coming out. The title's something like something pig travel or something, and she's just said about coming on the podcast, and I was like, your story sounds fantastic, and yes, I would absolutely love you to come on, but our book's not coming out till mid-year. So just these stories are just so incredible. So yeah, I'm pretty much take everyone because I just love everyone's story. So yeah, the podcast kind of shaping it feels like I'm not shaping it, it's being shaped by others at the moment, just because mm-hmm. of the pitching and stuff. But no, it's been really good. So but thank you so much for coming on and sharing all you have. It's so interesting to talk to yourself, especially being in New York City, and about publishing, which is what we absolutely are passionate for on the podcast, and just to hear, you know, different perspectives and things is great. So can you tell our listeners where they can discover, you know, your company, work, authors, anything you want to share online?
Well, I for years I've threatened to put up a website, and I haven't done it. because people just find me. And as predominantly as a publicist, I always feel like my job is to get other people's works out there, not me.
Yeah.
But I mean, I have a LinkedIn account. People can find me at LinkedIn. And I'm, to the best of my knowledge, I'm pretty sure of this, I'm the only Malka Margulies in the entire United States. there used to be two of us. There actually still are. I have a first cousin, Malka Margulies, but when she married, she took her husband's last name. So
right.
We are both named after our grandmother, who we never met. But yeah, so I'm easy enough to find. I do have LinkedIn. I do check it periodically. People could find me that way.
Oh, fantastic. Well, thank you so much, Malka. That was amazing.
Thank you, Joanne.
So there you have it, folks, the truly remarkable insights into New York's publishing scene with one of their publishing industry gems, Malka Margulies. It was so, so lovely chatting to Malka. And as you just heard, she shared some really valuable tips and resources for writers looking to know more about publishing and obviously what agents are looking for and things like that. Next time in the Hybrid Author Podcast, we have Chris Benetti on actionable strategies and tips for authors marketing and selling books. Now, Chris owns Smart Author Media, and he's an expert in book marketing. I wish you well in your author adventure this next week. That's it for me. It's bye for now.
That's the end for now, authors. I hope you're further forward in your author adventure after listening, and I hope you'll listen next time. Remember to head on over to the Hybrid Author website at www.hybridauthor.com.au to get your free author pass. It's bye for now.